It's nice to see everyone who's come along this evening. We're going to read firstly, please, in the Old Testament of your Bibles, in the book of Psalms in chapter number 4, please. I'm just going to read the full chapter. Psalm 4 and verse number 1 says, if you don't have a Bible, you can just listen. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord only, makest me dwell in safety. And then over in, it's a more traditional baptism text, Romans chapter number 6, and I know you're already there. Romans chapter number 6. And verse number 1. Verse number 3, rather. Romans 6, verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. But in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to trust that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word this evening. I'm turning back to the psalm actually, if you want to go with me. I want to notice a few things about that psalm that we read tonight. The first thing I want to notice is that it's a prayer to a God who's real to the psalmist. Listen to what the psalmist says. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Hear my prayer. Verse 2. The psalm not only is a prayer, but it's a prayer that springs up out of trouble. It's a prayer that springs out of trouble. Listen to what the psalmist says, verse number 1. When I was in distress. Verse number 2, it's about shame. It's about vanity. It's about him asking his God to have mercy upon him. It's where the psalmist recognises what it is that God really takes pleasure in. What does God take pleasure in? Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that stems out of the distress that the psalmist finds himself in. It's where the psalmist realises what it is that pleases God. People who are godly. And most significantly, at the end of the psalm, it ends with peace. Peace and joy found in God. peace and joy. Not temporary satisfaction, but real, lasting satisfaction for the person who has trusted in God. What is Psalm number 4? It's a personal account of a personal experience of the person of the Lord Jesus. It is an account of a man who has had that Romans 6 experience. It's an account of a man who has believed in the person of the Lord Jesus, who has been buried with him by baptism into death, and who is now living a new, fulfilled life by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what Psalm number 4 is, and that's what we want to think about tonight. What does it tell us about the God that Cameron worships tonight? What does it tell us about the God that Cameron desires to serve tonight? It tells us that our God is a giving God. Verse number 1. He's the God of my righteousness. He's the God who has given Cameron a right standing with himself. He's a God who glories in godliness. What is godliness? It is a reflection in the personality of a person, the character of God. And God delights in that tonight. And as Cameron is baptized tonight, he's putting his hand up and he's saying, I want to be that person that God delights in. I'm going to live a life that glorifies God. That's what Cameron's baptism is all about tonight. And he's a God of gladness, because there is not a feeling like it than to know that you have pleased your God. It tells us about a God of salvation, verse number 1 and 2. It tells us about a God of sanctification or separation, verse number 3 to verse number 5. And it tells us about a God of satisfaction, verse number 6, 7 and 8. It tells us so much about the experience of the psalmist. It tells us so much about Cameron's experience. And it tells us so very much about the experience that God wants for all of us. Psalm number 4 then. Let's try and join up all of these thoughts and we'll see if we can get a message out of it, shall we? The psalmist here is really at the end of himself, isn't he? He's in distress. His whole life has been vanity. It has been shame. It's been really useless and unfruitful for his God. And as he comes to the end of a life of vanity, as he comes to the end of a life of unfruitfulness, he realises it and he cries out to his God. Why does he cry out to his God? Because he realises that eternity is just round the corner. We believe that this psalm was written when Absalom, David's son, was chasing him through the wilderness of Israel with the full intention of taking his life, of taking everything that he had. And David realised that, you know, death was near. Eternity was just round the corner. I had best get right with God. And so David cries out here, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He realises that he's totally unable to help himself. And so he cries out to God in his distress and he says, hear me, God, I'm crying on you, I'm laying hold of you, save me, help me. That's what happened to Cameron on the 23rd of July 2010. Cameron, in my car, at the side of the road, realised that he was at the end of his tether, that there was nothing that he could do for himself. Very simply and very sincerely, Cameron told me, I need to be saved. What a great realisation to come to. And very simply, at the side of the road, because, you know, this baptism doesn't save Cameron. It's something so much simpler than that. Cameron cried out to his God, God, save me. God, I need you to save me. That's it. And Cameron's name is written in the book of life for eternity. That's the reality of Cameron's salvation. Nothing more. But a cry out to his God for mercy. The psalmist cries out to his God, desiring the mercy of his God. Cameron cried out to his God, desiring the mercy of his God. And the psalmist enjoyed the mercy of his God. The psalmist knew the joy of sins forgiven. And so does Cameron. So do I. So does everyone in this room tonight who has trusted in the person of the Lord Jesus. As Cameron steps into this water tonight, I want you to visualise with me all of Cameron's old life, all of his old desires, all of his old affections, all of the things that gave him happiness, not joy, not satisfaction, happiness, a buzz, all of those things. All of those things that displeased his God. And as Cameron steps into that water tonight, I want you to visualise with me all of that life taken and nailed to the cross of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Finished. Dead. That's what salvation is. It is the sins of Cameron laid upon the perfect person of the Lord Jesus and nailed to his cross as he steps into that water tonight. Cameron, you can say with the Apostle Paul tonight, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you can say, Cameron, that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified with Christ. Cameron, tonight you are showing the people in this room, you're showing the world that God is the God of your salvation. Salvation then. What about sanctification? What about separation? The man in the Psalms has now been converted. He's now trusting in his God for his salvation. He now says that in his flesh he will see God. He now says that he will see God face to face because he's trusting in him. The psalmist now realises what it is that his God is looking for. But know, says the psalmist, that the Lord hath set apart or has separated him that is godly for himself. Cameron, tonight as you get into that water, you're telling everyone and you're telling your God that you are separating yourself from all of the affections and all of the desires of the world for him. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Give everything to your God. Put your trust in the Lord. He knows that God has set apart those that are his to reflect his glory. And Cameron, I have the, well, I was going to say privilege, but we share a house. And sharing a house with you
I've had the joy that not very many other people in this room have had. I've seen you change so much. I've seen you take an interest in God. I've seen you take an interest in the Word of God. I've seen you take an interest in speaking to your God. And I've sitting under the sound of the Word of God. I've never, ever thought that I would see that. But you have seen that your God desires to set apart for himself them that are godly. And you have set yourself apart. You have sanctified yourself for your God. And as you're baptized tonight, I've seen it. But everyone else gets to see it as well. This baptism tonight won't save you. Doesn't get you born again. We don't baptize him as a member of the gospel hall here. We don't baptize him so that he's clean when he meets God. Doesn't save you, but it's evidence that you're trusting in God tonight. Visualize with me again, will you? Need a good imagination. But visualize with me that old life that was crucified with the person of the Lord Jesus. Visualize it taken off of the cross with the Lord Jesus. And when Cameron goes below the water, visualize with me all of that sin. All of that which displeased God. Visualize it buried. And the stone of the Lord Jesus' tomb was rolled across to be moved again. This time, don't visualize it moved, just visualize it there and sealed, and that old life never to raise again. Buried with him by baptism into death. The old life is dead, and now it's buried. The Apostle Peter says, it is written, be ye holy, because I am holy. That's what God desires of you tonight. You can't do it in your own strength, but he will give you the power to be holy as he is holy. The God of your salvation tonight, but also the God of your sanctification, something like he's become the God of your sanctification tonight. And the God of your satisfaction then, and time is shifting, so I better finish. This man that was in distress at the beginning of the psalm has come through a conversion experience. He's now living a life that pleases his God. And what does he say? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Not just the God of your salvation. Not just the God of your satisfaction tonight. He's not just rather the God of your sanctification. He's the God of your satisfaction. Why is the psalmist glad? And why should you be glad tonight, Cameron? Because God has become real. Verse number 6. Lift up thou the light of thy countenance. Or lift up your face to me, Lord. Because God has filled him up. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Now that perhaps doesn't mean much to us, but what he's talking about is this, that their barns were full. And they thought they had everything. And here David's lying in a cave in the desert in Israel. And he says, Lord, you've fulfilled me. You've filled me right up with gladness. More than those people whose barns are full. More than those people who have everything as far as the world is concerned. Because God has given you rest. God is no longer a God of judgment. He's no longer a God whom you have to fear in a sense of being under condemnation. He's the God who has given you rest. I know what you've done. I know what I've done. And I'm sure that other people in the room will have tried to satisfy themselves. But only with God will you find satisfaction, Cameron. Will anyone find satisfaction? The night that Cameron was saved, as we drove home, rejoicing in Cameron's salvation, and phoning everybody to let them know about Cameron's salvation, Cameron said to me, you know, there's a song that we listen to, Craig. As if I'm like 80. There's a song that we listen to, Craig. And it says, I feel... It says it a bit faster than this. It says, I feel like I'm running on empty. Cameron said, that's how I felt. And Cameron at Disney speak like this, anybody knows him. Now I'm full. He'd been saved for 5 minutes. And he had the joy of the Lord in his heart. He was filled right up. He had that satisfaction that he'd been chasing. For 16 years, he'd been chasing some sort of satisfaction, some sort of joy. And 5 minutes after he trusted in the person of the Lord Jesus to take him to heaven for eternity, he was full to the brim. He's not just a God who saves you and abandons you. Or a God who saves you and expects you to live for him, but you get nothing back. He's a God who gives you everything you could ever want. If you have never been born again, if you have never asked the person of the Lord Jesus into your heart, then ask any of the Christians in here tonight. And ask them if God is the biggest buzz they've ever had. Guarantee you, they will tell you yes. If they are truly born again, they will tell you yes. Visualise with me again and then I'm finished. Cameron has gone into the water. You've visualised his sins crucified with Christ. Cameron goes under the water. You visualise the sins buried with Christ. Cameron, you used to know, forget him, he's dead. As Cameron comes back up, visualise with me that first Easter morning, will you? Visualise with me a stone rolled away from a tomb. Not the tomb that dead Cameron was buried in. But the tomb that new Cameron's going to come out of. A new Cameron. Set apart for his God. Living a new life to please his God. A new Cameron who is holy because he, the Lord, is holy. As Cameron emerges from that water, visualise the person of the Lord Jesus coming out of that tomb. Visualise Cameron coming with him. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, Cameron,
You promise tonight, by your baptism, that you will walk in newness of life. The psalmist found rest, found satisfaction in God. Things don't get any easier, trust me. Satan only ever makes it harder, especially as you're baptised tonight. It becomes unbearable at times. But in him, you will always have rest. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Final verse, please. In the book of Isaiah, and I'll read it because I got it at my baptism and I enjoyed it. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Cameron, on your own profession of faith in the person of the Lord Jesus and at your own request, we now hope to baptise you. Thanks very much for listening.